With loving hearts and open minds, we come into God's presence. With God's open heart and glorious presence, God welcomes us with love. Now let us listen to the prelude of Sanctuary, performed by the Joyful Noise Choir. Let us please rise as you are able, and we will join together in reading the call to worship that is printed in your bulletin. Listen, for God is still speaking. Look, for God is still present. Worship, for God is in our midst. And now we will continue with the opening prayer. God of glory, grace us with your presence. Overwhelm us with your love. Guide us with your wisdom. And fill us with your Holy Spirit as we worship and praise you this day. Let us sing our opening hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, hymn number 64 in the blue hardback hymnal. We will sing verses 1-4.
Thank you. be seated. Friends, would you join us in the prayers of the people? Gracious Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise, and our hearts are full of joy because you are with us. God, you have revealed yourself to us. Christ has been shown. Christ is risen indeed. Lord, be with us as we celebrate those good things, that there has been healing and that family members are home, that people continue to have birthdays, that people continue to be born. God, be with us as we celebrate all of those things that fill us fully with grace and love and peace. And Lord, be with us in the times where we need to lean on you, where we need to trust in your grace, in your presence, and in your healing. Lord, we pray for those who are in the hospital, even those who are young. Lord, may your protection be upon them. May you give wisdom to the doctors. May you give peace to the family. And Lord, may all be well for your grace and your glory and for the goodness of our community. God, we give you praise. We give you thanks. We lift our voices to you in both song and word, and we ask that you hear us, that those prayers on our hearts that are too heavy or too fresh to lift, Lord, that you are aware of even those. God, be with us. Teach us. Give us grace and patience and love so that all the world may know that you are risen and that we will rise with you. Through Christ our Lord, we pray all of these things. And all the people said, Amen. So friends, we invite you to join with us the prayer that Christ has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Kids, come on up.
See, oh, guys, I got it on the first try and before we got up here. Nice. That is great. Good morning. What do I have?
A whisk.
A whisk. It's a very big whisk. I stole it from downstairs. I'll have to put it back. Someone remind me afterwards. Mm-hmm. All right. What do you do with whisks?
Mix stuff.
You mix eggs, you mix stuff. Yes, this is for mixing things up. I'm going to tell you guys a story about a guy who got all mixed up. So who here knows who Jonah is? All right, so some of us. So Jonah was tasked by God to go to a town called Nineveh and ask those people to repent and ask for forgiveness from God. Well, Jonah didn't really like the people of Nineveh. He didn't think that they were worthy of God's forgiveness. So he ran away. How do you guys think that went? He should not have done that, because he got on a boat and a big storm came, and he was like, well, the storm is here because of me. So him and the people decided that he should go overboard. So as he goes off the boat, do you guys know what happens?
He gets swallowed by a whale.
So he gets swallowed by a whale, and he's in there for a couple of days.
3 days
and three nights. And then the whale spits him out, and he's like, all right, God, I'll go to Nineveh. I'll go and I'll do what you asked of me. So he goes and he tells the people of Nineveh, you know, you guys should repent. He's not very happy about it. But guess what? the people repented. So, I bet you guys are wondering how that makes him all mixed up. So, because he was so blinded by the fact that he didn't like these people, and he didn't think these people were good enough for God, he got all mixed up in his feelings, and he didn't listen to God. So, the thing to remember from this story is that we can feel a certain way, but we shouldn't let our feelings about certain people mix us all up inside to where we forget that they are also God's people. Sound good? Easier said than done, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, should we pray about it? All right. Hey, God. Thank you so much, for forgiving us when we get all mixed up in our feelings. Please help us to follow you. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from 2 Peter's in the first chapter, verses 16 through 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of this, of his majesties. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on that holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will. But men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our service will now continue with special music from our chancel choir, who will sing Vision Prayer with Brian Robinson on cello.
Into this heart of darkness, God made his light to shine.
Friends, now is our time of offering, where we remember that God is good, that God has provided, and that all will be well. Friends, I invite you to use this as a time to reflect not only on the ways that God has provided for you throughout your lives, but also on the ways that God is calling you to be his hands and his feet. Friends, may this be a time of reflection on the ways that you can also bless others as God has blessed us. Almighty God, bless these gifts, bless these tithes, bless these offerings. Lord, bless them so that they might not only care for our congregation, but they might be a blessing to our community. Lord, continue to soften our hearts that we might be a generous people filled with gratitude. Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise. And all the people said, amen. And amen. Friends, continue to stay standing, and you're going to have to forgive me. This is a new song, so we're going to play it all the way through, so hopefully you can get the tune in your ear, but we'll be singing Swiftly Past the Clouds of Glory. You can find it in your thin black hymnal on 2102, and we'll be singing verses 1 through 3. Thank you. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, our gospel today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. This is the gospel, according to Matthew. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became bright as light. And suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will set up 3 tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they raised their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The good news of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen. You know, I like to joke about my cooking ability a little bit. And I am serious when I say that I am not a baker. How many of you like to actually bake things? It's such a science, isn't it? If you don't get the flour right, it turns out wrong. If you don't get the baking soda right, it turns out wrong. If you substitute baking soda and baking powder, what happens? I don't know. I'm not a baker, but I know it's not right. Amen? Amen. But something happened this last, or I guess we're still in winter. Something happened a few months ago. I decided I was going to make ginger snaps. How many of you like ginger snaps? I love them. Except mine are more like molasses cookies, apparently, because I don't like them crunchy. I like my cookies soft and chewy. But I decided I was going to make ginger snaps. And so here I was in the kitchen making everything from scratch. Because it's not hard to buy the prepackaged stuff, break off the little cubes, put it in the oven, and have cookies that way, is it? They're still delicious. They're still good. But I decided I was going to make cookies from scratch. With fear and trembling, I started getting out the ingredients. With uncertainty and a little bit of caution, I started pouring everything in. With the recipe directly in front of my eyes the whole time, it's now all gooey and caked, and there's stains on it from where the eggs were cracked. You get the idea. But here I was making ginger snaps. And it was something I was not used to. It filled me with a little bit of anxiety. But I put the ginger snaps into the oven. And I got to tell you, friends, when you roll the cookie dough into balls and your hands get all sticky, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan at all. But I put the cookies into the oven and I turn it on and I bake it. And I've been told by my really intelligent and smart wife that you have to use your nose to figure out when the cookies are done. And so, if you don't know anything about me, my nose doesn't work quite as well as it should. So I'm watching these cookies, and I'm on pins and needles because I don't want to burn them, because what happens if you burn them? They're not any good. You got to give them to the dog or throw them away or try and trick your kids and tell them that these are the best cookies I've ever had and you should eat all of them. But I take these cookies out, and what was this amalgamation of dry and wet ingredients, what once was something different, had coalesced into something that was good and sweet and a little bit spicy. I took the cookies out, I took a bite, and I said, "Well, it's not the worst cookie in the world that I've ever had." And I proceeded to eat all of them over the next week.
But there was something about that experience that has stuck with me. And it's not just about making cookies, as simple as an experience as that is. It was the experience of doing something that I had always thought I was no good at. It was about doing something that wasn't necessarily naturally a part of who I was. And yet, what did I find? Even if I'm not the best baker in the world, apparently I can still bake, well, we're calling them ginger doodles because they're soft, but apparently I can still bake a ginger doodle cookie. See, what we find in the gospel today is that Jesus takes a couple of his disciples up the mountain, and all of a sudden, what happens? What happens? There's a blinding light. Jesus has gone through a wardrobe change that could have stunned any show choir group. And standing beside him is Moses and Elijah. And his disciples look upon this scene and their faces fall to the ground after they hear the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved. This is my son. Listen to him." They see Jesus as Jesus truly is. Which for us is kind of hard to wrap our minds around, isn't it? Maybe you've heard of the term hypostatic union. If not, don't worry. You don't need to know exactly what it is. But what's important to know is this. In our tradition, we have held this peace, this belief, this truth for thousands of years that says Jesus is fully human and fully God. Say that with me. Fully human, fully God. That's 200%, isn't it, friends? That's 200%. And my question is, how does this work? You know, sometimes we have to look at things and go, well, that's a mystery of faith. But I wonder, for us here today, old theology that doesn't seem like it has any bearing on the problems that we have as a society here in this day, in this age. I wonder what something like that can teach us. Christ, who walked with his disciples, who ate, who drank, who was baptized in the Jordan River, who probably got way too hot on those 100-degree days and had to take a nap under a tree. Christ, who was human. And yet we see these moments where all of a sudden people are healed miraculously, or the transfiguration happens, or he's walking on water. See, I wonder sometimes if Christ isn't trying to tell us about ourselves as well. Don't misunderstand me. How many of you in here think you're God? I'm not raising my hand because I do. Amen? Okay, good. As long as we establish the baseline there. But I think there's something incredible that Christ is proclaiming when he walks into this earth and says, "You will look like me. If you continue on this path, you will be an image of the living God." What's fascinating to me is that fits right into our tradition and our theology to say that it's not about the destination necessarily, although that's a part of it. But in fact, here in this life, it's about every single step we take. As we heal, as we grow, as we mature, as we come to be more like Christ. I think the uncomfortable truth in a story like the Transfiguration here is that we might be flesh and blood. That's not a radical claim, is it? Right? We're flesh and blood? Okay, just making sure. But what might be harder to understand and yet no less true is that we are also a people filled with spirit. were a people with, I don't know how to put it, it's a mystery of faith, isn't it? We're a people that operate in ways that confound our minds sometime, and that even though when we get hurt and we, you know, figure out how to sew ourselves back together, that there is an inner life that sometime escapes complete and full understanding. And yet here is Christ saying, even in that way, you are to grow. Your hearts, your attitudes, your abilities, even in that way, God continues to work in us. Because I think at the end of the day, that's what God is doing. And I think that whole 200% stuff starts to become a little bit more understandable. Have you ever trained for some, I don't know, some event, some athletic endeavor that you wanted to succeed at? I know I've told the story how I tried to train for a triathlon once and I nearly drowned in the lake during the first leg. And yet, my body grew through that. It's just like when a baby starts to learn to walk. What do? They fall, right? But even before that, and the falling sometimes, you're going to have to forgive me, friends, sometimes you have to laugh at the falls, right? But before they even learn how to fall, they have to learn how to push. They have to learn how to roll over, don't they? And then once they can roll over, they have to push themselves up. And then once they push themselves up, they have to grab onto things and pull themselves up. And then it gets fun, doesn't it? They start to do what? They start to cruise and they start to get into things, don't they? They start to find ways to make messes and open doors and just generally be kids. And then all of a sudden, it's mom and dad or grandma and grandpa apart from each other, and you've got the child in your arms and you say, go ahead, walk. And what do? Maybe they take a step and they fall down. But eventually they start taking more steps until eventually they're in your partner and your spouse's arms. And from there, it only continues. See, I think we know what it means to grow physically. I think we know what it means even to grow mentally. It's the same way with our heart, with our faith. There are steps we take. There's moments where we realize that there is a deeper and a larger reality than we could ever imagine. That our hearts could be more full of love and grace and patience and kindness than we thought possible. See, the Transfiguration story is certainly, there's tons of things you can take up from it, and certainly you can take that old lesson of God is present and our eyes need to be open so that we see the true reality that is. But I think another lesson that we need for today is to learn what it means to be fully human as God has made us. Right, you remember the beginning. You remember that old story that we tell from Genesis. In the beginning, what? God created everything. I paraphrased there a little bit. I hope that's okay. But in the beginning, God created everything. And after God was done doing that, he sat back and he looked at it all and said, what? This is good. This is really good. And with humans, there was something fascinating that happened. God said, let us make them in our image. Now, we've been wrestling with that and struggling with what that exactly means over the years, but perhaps when God said that, God meant, let us give them a spirit. Let us bind heaven and earth together so that they might be fully and wholly alive. The Transfiguration is a story about us realizing what God is doing, but it's also a story about how we are like Christ. how all of those parts in our lives, it's more to it. And that God is calling us into that aliveness and into that holiness and into that wholeness. So friends, my question for us all today, I think, is how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we start to live lives as God intended? Again, just like walking, there are many steps to learning. There are many steps to doing it. But the steps that I want us to take today, the steps that I think we're able to take today, are these. How many of you have ever gotten your hands dirty by helping someone? I don't mean like in an illegal way. I mean like you actually had to do work and you had to sweat and cry and maybe, you know, bleed a little bit. How many of you had done that before? That's an important part of who we are as a people of faith. It's something that we hold on to tightly and should never let go. How many of you have ever cracked open either the Bible or a theology textbook or even a devotional or even sat down and just kind of turned tough questions over in your heads? How many of you have ever done that before? It's good stuff, isn't it? Sometimes it's frustrating and infuriating, and sometimes we don't come to the answers that we're looking for. Sometimes asking the question really just gives us 10 or 20 more questions to answer. How many of you have ever worshiped? How many of you have ever prayed? How many of you have ever sat down and connected with someone and just listened to their story? Done nothing else other than be in each other's presence and supported one another? How many of you have done that? Friends, these three things are the things that God has called us to. He's called us to grow in our knowledge and to study. He's called us to get our hands dirty and to help and to serve. He's called us to use our hearts to pray, to worship, to connect. Friends, this is my encouragement, my prayer, my challenge if you're one of those people who like something to overcome. This is my hope for all of us, that in each of those ways we can study, we can serve, and we can connect with each other. Because in doing that, I think the transfiguration and the glory of God is made known, not only to each of us, not only to each other, but maybe to the whole world. So friends, as you go, may you look at your lives and reflect and ask yourself, what are the ways that I'm already engaging in this? What are the ways I'm using my head, my heart, and my hands? And what are the ways that God is calling me to use them to bless others? May you sit with those questions this week, and especially as we go into Lent. Amen. Amen. Friends, shall we pray? Gracious Lord, help us see with fresh eyes just like Peter and James and John did. Lord, help us know your glory and your mission. Help us understand what you are calling us to. Help us to be fully human as you have made us, good and as an image of you. God, may we engage not only in the physical world or the intellectual and mental one, may we engage in one of the heart and of the spirit as well. Lord, may we rejoice, may we engage in play, whether that be sport or music or story. May our hearts be filled, may we connect with one another. And Lord, in all things, may we be fully as we were made and meant to be. And walk with us as we continue to grow into who you have called us. Lord, walk with us as we grow into being your children. Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise. And we ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen.
Friends, we invite you to stand as you are comfortable and join us in our final hymn, Alleluia, Alleluia, which can be found on page 162 of your blue hymnals or up on the screens. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 4. Friends, just a reminder, the season of Lent is upon us, and there's a lot of things that will be going on. Open house at the Parsonage on Tuesday. We have our Lenten service here at 6:30, joint with Trinity. For those out at Friendship Haven, we have a 10 o'clock service as well. And then after that, we've got our Thursday evening Bible studies. But friends, may you receive the benediction as you go today. May God bless you, may God keep you, may God lift you up and fill your hearts. Friends, may God help you be fully human, fully you, as you were created and intended to be. May your hands serve others, may your heads dive into the depths and the mysteries of truth. May your hearts be filled and connected with everyone you meet. Friends, go with God, and God will go with you, now until the end of all things. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Friends, go and rest today. Enjoy your Sabbath. Now, our service is ended.